Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
But and I mean, with the, some people that think the universe is ever expanding, or some people say it's contracting.
But you keep saying the universe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is
that the wrong pronoun? You say our universe because there could be others.
This is. Well, I agree with Tori on this.
Also,
I think it's a bit presumptuous of us.
No, I think science has determined this is the only one.
Well, I mean, there's like, you know,
sad
an alternate
failing,
you know,
New York Times.
Sad universe.
Yeah. Nigel still thinks Georgetown.
There are so-called universes out there, but they don't element our
universes.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Plausibly live and from an as-yet-undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland, we're on the air with Gene McManus and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser, and Nigel is here to do the news and run the board, and in a little while we'll have Anne Hornaday, and she will give an Oscar preview, because the Oscars are Sunday night, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, who I think is very funny. Right? Do
you think I can.
Very funny.
Agree.
So I hope that works out because I like Jimmy Kimmel. There are some things I could talk about. There's a couple of sports things, and maybe I will get to them. But I need to relate a story first. And I don't know how often this happens to people, but in Washington, D.C. now, in the last month or so, every single street in downtown Washington, D.C., is under construction. Yeah. There are giant holes in every single street as workers attempt to fix whatever problems.
Fix those potholes from the icy winter.
It's not even potholes. They're repaving all over the place. So in order to get to the PTI show, and I've described this in detail many, many times, I come down through the
Let's
park.
Go over it one more time.
I go come down through the park.
The grid.
I go through Adams Morgan. I go down 18th Street, and I cross Massachusetts Avenue on 18th Street, and then I go...
Like you mean a 16th or a 17th, or did you just say 18th?
18th.
Oh, I thought you said 18th. Never mind.
I'm on
Forget it.
E-I-G-H-T,
okay.
18th.
Okay.
And then I get to N Street... 18th and N. And
so
I make
anywhere
a left.
Along that route for the IED will get the job done.
Yes. So I make a left. I make a left onto N Street.
Which is a little street.
Yeah, it's where the Tabard Inn is.
Yeah.
It's where the Tabard Inn is. And I go down this one long block, and then I make a right, and then I'm on 17th. And then I go into the parking garage, mm-hmm. you know, where the ABC News building is.
Why don't you just take Connecticut?
It's too crowded.
Yeah. You never take...
Have you seen the traffic on 18th Street?
I'm on it. I drive it.
No,
I'm fine.
No. Here are the rules of Washington driving. Never take Connecticut.
Don't take a big
take
street.
Never take Wisconsin.
Don't take a big street. Yeah. Take the side streets.
Take the side streets.
So I make a left onto N, and I do this all the time. This is how I go. I am a creature of habit. I understand that every single street in town is being repaired in one form or another. But usually when you see them being repaired, there's one lane that's clear. They're repairing one side of the street. There are people down in a ditch. They're
passed to the left.
Whatever they're
doing. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I make a left onto N Street. Now, you got to understand, there are no cones. They don't tell me I can't make a left. I'm allowed to make a left. I make a left onto N Street. And in front of me are about 40 people working, about 20 of them working on dumping gravel into the street, and then two actual steamrollers paving the street. They're paving the street. I can't go anywhere. I've run right into this.
Cannot pass.
They're in front of me. They're in front of me going north and south, and I'm going east and west. I'm actually going
honestly,
east.
Honestly, what the fuck are we doing here?
I think it's a fair question at that point.
I honk the
Did
horn.
Did you cue that up?
Honk the horn. Move the gravel.
I honk the horn.
Gotta get home here.
I ask one of the worker men to come over to me. Could just come over to me. And he comes over to me. He's got an attitude. Of course he's got an attitude.
You did honk at him.
Yeah.
Well, how else?
Well, maybe you could have gotten out of the car and rolled the window down.
I rolled the window
down. Too confrontational to get out.
I rolled the window down. I put my left arm out the window and in a motion,
Waiter.
Please come over.
A hooking motion.
Did you have the taser ready?
No, I hit the horn. I didn't hit it like I'm angry hit it. I hit it, beeped it, just to get his, because he's not looking at me.
Right. The universal language he's short beep.
Right. He's not
two
looking
short
at
beeps.
Me. Beep. So he turns around, he's got an attitude, and he comes over, and I go, what? And he goes, well, you know, we're repaving the street. And I said, but
can see that.
Can I go through? Is the street open? Because there are no cones. It doesn't say. I mean, I got. By the way, I got four people behind me. There's right. four cars behind me.
Because it's an open street, as far as anyone knows.
Completely open street.
You can take Was. That little alley back behind St. Matthew's Cathedral, can't you? To get off.
Not from where I am.
Okay.
Because I'm right in the middle of apartment buildings. There's no alley right there. Okay. No, because that's on Rhode Island Avenue. I can't get over to that. So, I go, well, what am I supposed to do? And he says, well, we're going to do some paving. But, you know, when we're done.
Do what you like. Pick your nose, done, listen to the radio. It's gonna I don't care.
When everybody. We're done, you can go through. So now.
April?
So I put the car in park, and I don't know whether to shut it off or not, but they are actually dropping the gravel is being dropped. As I am looking down the road on my left-hand side, there's a big truck where the gravel is dumped.
Sure.
It is then spread.
With the hot stuff.
It's spread across the road. Yes, steam is coming up. It's spread across the road. And then a guy is literally paving the road. And they're not going to put down,
tar.
No. Paint. They're not going to put lanes or anything like that. But they're literally, and this road can use repaving. I mean, it's got a lot of potholes and stuff like that.
And he's suggesting, like, as soon as they're done, you can just drive right over.
Yes. I said, well, how long do you think? And he goes, a few minutes. Not that much.
Quick dry.
A few minutes. Not that much. It was 6 minutes. And I'm not saying that's a lot, but indeed, he just said, okay, let's go. I've never been in a circumstance where the road is being fixed as I am driving on the road. And then I went through. It was not confrontational. Nothing terrible happened. But I would have thought that when you were going to pave a street, you would close the street.
And then were your wheel wells full of hot gravel?
Yeah, that would be my concern.
I don't know. It was paved. I mean, the guy.
I guess the steamroller just so compresses
it. Two different guys
in
a steamroller. Two different guys.
Was there an opportunity for you to purchase all the equipment and tell everyone to
leave? No. But I was just amazed because he said it would be a few minutes, and I had visions of it being a day.
Yeah.
An entire day. Yeah. I'm three blocks from where I have to be. I have no in or out.
Well,
nothing I can do.
If we had over-undered it, I'd have said 15. I mean, no, I wouldn't have said 6.
Yeah, 15.
I didn't even shut off the engine.
But it was stunner. Just because I've been involved in other situations where there are cones up in my neighborhood, and I've just gone around the cones because it's my neighborhood, and a guy will come over and say, "What are you doing? There are cones. You can't go through here." And I just live over here. No, back up, turn around, get out. And okay. But there was nothing. So it was an ongoing thoroughfare.
Is that a one-way street?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one-way east.
One-way
east.
That seems incredible that they
I hope people
put a
around
sign
the country
up.
Are really interested.
Everyone can
in this.
Relate. Yeah. Did you offer the obligatory half-wave, half-salute as you drove by?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I said, thanks.
I do that too.
I said thanks because it would be, you know, that I felt I got lucky.
Sure.
But
star treatment.
Has this ever happened to you?
No, they paved the road for me in front of me. No, that has not happened to me.
It's weird.
Did OnStar have any recommendations for you?
I don't have OnStar anymore.
Oh, you don't?
I'm sick of OnStar. Oh. I bailed on OnStar because OnStar was, what can we do for you today? Well, could you do this? No, no, we can't do this. And it was $41 a month.
You bailed 10 years after everybody else.
I bailed late, but I bailed.
41 a month is 40. What they were getting.
Yeah, because I got deluxe OnStar.
Well, right.
It's more than your gas bill.
Yeah, my gas bill way under that. Yeah. Even being cheated, my gas. Well, not in the house I live in.
Right, the other
in
one.
The uninhabitable
the
house. So, did ever happen to you anything like that?
Not.
Have you been in downtown D.C. lately?
Yes, and I would
every street.
And
stay
I would
away.
Say it's yeah. not just downtown D.C. It is the whole area.
Every street.
I live when downtown, I and your neighborhood.
President's
worse.
Putting America back to work.
My neighborhood is worse.
I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, so that's fine. I mean, it's okay. I just was. I was just amazed. I turned onto a street where it was impossible for me to continue.
They should have a sign.
Yeah, that there should be at least one of those standing orange
nothing.
Yeah.
Or
there
at least one of the guys nothing. Out there, you know, with nothing. The walkie-talkie being
30,
like, no.
40 guys, you know, just and well, the annoying part,
all
of
in the
course,
name of infrastructure.
Was every the people who I needed to talk to, and I knew I needed to talk to because they were the ones who were not
the
in the process right, the, of yeah, doing the physical work.
They were not the workermen.
They were not looking.
That, like the leader of the store, you mean? Yeah. In this instance, right?
The sidewalk supervisor.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
the guy, the chiefs. Anyway. All right, the Warriors last night.
Oh,
at
shocker!
Home, it's not a shocker that they beat the Clippers because they own them. They beat them 11 in a row now. They had 50 points in the third quarter.
Like an all-star game.
Could you look up the all-star game? Could you see?
I don't have to look it up. I can tell you that
Did they go 50?
Yes. The East had 53 in the first quarter.
Okay.
The West, who had
no defense.
The West, who won with 192, didn't score 50 in a quarter. I believe it was like upper 40s every single quarter.
Like
yeah,
that.
Check it.
50 points in a quarter. And this is a real game. This is not where Steph Curry literally lays down on the foul line.
Now,
as people
of course, they had
him.
Four All-Star.
This is a real game. They got 50 in the quarter. They went 9 out of 15 for threes in one quarter. It's amazing to me. It's not amazing they won the game. Curry had 35. Durant had 25. But that's something. And also in pro basketball news, if people care about this, Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis played together for the first time. They combined for 30 points in the first half. They ended up with 56 points. Cousins had 27 points and 14 rebounds, and Anthony Davis had 29, and they lost by 30. By 30 because they stink.
Well, there was another trade deadline guy in that game saying, remember me over here? Lou Williams went for 29 in 27, I think, in 25
points.
Minutes.
27 points with 7 threes, so they lose easily. So that is. There were no big trades at the trade deadline. And every year it's talked about how this year Paul George was going to be traded. Paul George was going to be traded either to the Lakers or more likely to the Celtics. And in return, Indiana was going to get the rights to the number one overall pick that the Celtics own at the moment, even though the lottery hasn't started. Paul George not traded. Carmelo Anthony, the soap opera that is Carmelo Anthony, not traded. Derrick Rose, the soap opera that is Derrick Rose, not traded. Ricky Rubio, not traded. Jimmy Butler, nobody traded. Nobody of consequence. Nobody of consequence traded. So who does that help? That helps the Washington Wizards.
Sure.
That helps the Cleveland Cavaliers because there's no challenge. That helps the Golden State Warriors because there is no particular challenge. That helps the Washington Wizards, who made a deal and now could conceivably be the opponent of Cleveland because the Celtics don't get helped. They could conceivably be the opponent of Cleveland in the finals in the East. And it helps the Los Angeles Lakers because Paul George is going to leave at the end of next year. He's going to leave, and he's going to go play for the Lakers. And you know who else
so
is going to do that?
So he's unrestricted at the end of the year?
Yes, and you know who else? Next year, not this
right,
year. Next year. And you know who else is going to do that? Russell Westbrook. And they're both going to be on the Lakers.
Ooh.
And Magic Johnson is going to be able to put that together because he's Magic Johnson.
Right.
And he's a rainmaker. It doesn't mean that he knows anything about the cap, and it doesn't mean that he knows anything about the specificity of being, you know, the president or anything like that. But what it does mean is that Magic Johnson can talk to anybody, and he is very, very likable, and he's going to say, come play for me. We'll give you the money that somebody else is going to give you. Come play for me. And it's good for the league, and the league wants it to happen. Adam Silver wants that to happen. So that's going to happen. Is there anything else to talk about at the beginning?
That's pretty much all the sports for the day.
Right. I didn't watch the Golden State game.
Well, nobody did. It was in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's on at nighttime.
Do you have anything you want to say?
No, thank you. You've done a great job.
Yeah.
I was going to go on for about 10 minutes about the paving
like
of the city streets.
Yeah.
I think you've covered that.
Then when we come back, Ian Hornaday will join us with an Oscar preview. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. I don't have a made-to-measure suit from Indochino, but Nigel does.
So I've got two.
And you like the first one so much?
So much I got another one. Yes.
So talk about your personal experience with Indochino.
So you're covered for the next 3 years.
You don't wear a suit that often.
No, I don't need to. But when I do have to wear a suit, it's nice to know that I've got a great, perfect-fitting suit from Indochino. You measure yourself. You can go to a tailor.
Or you can get somebody to measure
you. Can go to a tailor and do it, or you can do it as I did it with a yardstick and a piece of rope.
You can do that.
And it comes.
I had to measure my head yesterday.
Oh, yes, that's right.
For the cap and gown.
How'd that go?
Well, you know how most hat sizes are like 6 7/8 or
7 3/8
or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I put a tape measure around my head, and it was 22.5.
Centimeters.
So how does that work?
I'm not sure.
Nobody makes a hat 22 and a half.
I guess
you do have a big head.
So that's absurd. I mean, that's Bruce Bochy times three.
That's alien.
That's my head around my head.
Wait,
just think of your own head for a second.
Right.
You don't really think that your head is 7 1/8. Look at your head. You think 7 1/8 inches? It's not. So that's got to be a different
size.
Yeah, I think you
because 22 and a half centimeters would be about 8 7/8 inches.
This was inches.
22 and a half inches.
Okay. 22 and a half inches around my head.
By Avogadro's number to get your hat size.
Yeah, I think anyway, you divide it by pi.
Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it. Nigel did that. Whether it's for work or a wedding or another special occasion, Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men. They're now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world, and here's how it works. You visit a showroom, there's some of those. Or you go shop online at Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order, and you wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. This week, listeners to this podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. The shipping is free. That is Indochino.com. Promo code Tony K for any premium suit for just $389 in free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're either a 7 or a 7 and 1/8 hat size.
7 sounds okay. Right. Okay, so what are you holding up?
I'd go 7 and an eighth.
No, that's too big. That's too big. I don't have any hair. That's too big, but it's 22 and a half inches around my head. And I just thought, wow, I've broken the bank.
Seven and an eighth.
You're 7 and 1/8, because 22 and 3/8 inches would be a 7 and 1/8.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Internet girl, why are you so quiet all the time? Girl, you have an impenetrable line.
This is Internet Girl by Michael Schlesinger, who writes that he's a longtime little from D.C., now residing in Singapore, working for Chris Dodd as chairman and CEO of the Motion Picture Association of America, protecting our nation's films and TV programming in Asia, which is why we want to play this into Anne, because Anne talks about China and movies.
Wasn't that supposed to be your job?
Yeah, but I didn't want to go to Singapore.
Well, Tony and I were going to split that job.
Your podcast has provided enormous joy and helps me cope with the culture shock associated with living so far away from home. I've looked for the cheeserie here. I only find the cheese bar in Robertson Quay along the Singapore River. He also enjoys SAG membership, so Anne Hornaday's movie reviews are a weekly highlight. He's a longtime singer and songwriter who sang with the Washington Chorus for many years, including at the White House party in 2014, and says maybe you were there, and I wasn't. But you can get Internet Girl on iTunes or Amazon or many other digital platforms. And Michael writes, I can only hope someone who hears this podcast wants to buy the rights for $1 million. From your mouth to God's ears. Anne Hornaday joins us now. We're going to do an Oscar preview, but before we do an Oscar preview, Anne really liked this movie, Get Out, which is made by Jordan Peele of the Key and Peele duo, comedy duo. And so normally I would say, I don't even want to talk about anything but the Oscars on Oscar weekend, but you really liked this movie, didn't you?
I did, but I have to do something before that even, and Michael Schlesinger knows what it is, I bet.
What's that?
I have to make a correction.
What happened?
To the record.
Come on.
Because when we were talking about China last week, I mistakenly attributed the China storyline in The Martian to a cheap, cynical, pandering move for Chinese bucks, and it was actually an organic part of the original story. So I mistakenly cast aspersions.
Yeah.
On to the makers of The Martian and all of those smart littles out there.
Oh, they knew?
They knew, man. They were on it.
The Martian is so great. It's great.
I just love them.
It's a terrific movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. The Martian is a great movie. And we have great listeners, and I just wanted to correct the record.
Okay. All right. You want to review Get Out?
And I love Get Out.
Get Out.
And I love Get Out, and I want to tell everybody about that, too, because this is a really cool movie. It's the debut of Jordan Peele, but...
I thought he did that movie about the cat.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't direct that.
Oh, this is a director. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Directing debut.
Okay.
But as we all, you know, as the fans of the Key and Peele show know, he knows so much about movies. I mean, he's a real cinephile. And so he brings a lot of that to this. It's a horror movie. It's about a biracial couple. played by the British actor Daniel Kaluuya, whom I had not been familiar with, and Allison
British
Williams.
Actors,
British
sure.
actor.
Playing also, Americans all the time.
Which is our, this is our lot in life now.
Yep.
And Allison Williams from Girls plays the girlfriend, and they live in New York, and they are going upstate to for her to introduce him to her family. And so what ensues is kind of a classic creepy Stepford wifey, what's going on here, fish out of water, who are these people? There's a creepy subtext, there's lots of creepy jump scares. But then it's really just a brilliant social satire about race and history and cultural appropriation, and it's just a very smart, very funny, sharp, sly movie. It's just incredibly good.
So this is not in the genre of, say, the exploitation movies like Fifty Shades of Black. It's not like that. It's not just played for laughs and played over the top.
No, I mean, it's played for laughs, but the laughs are incredibly knowing and and kind of rueful, you know. But it is, I mean, it, like it begins, the set piece that it opens with is a guy, is a black man walking through a clearly white, leafy suburb at night, trying to find an address, and then being kind of stalked by a car. You don't see who's in the car, but I mean, the echoes are unmistakable in terms of Trayvon Martin. So there's this kind of underlying seriousness to it. And it's a difficult tonal balance to pull off, but I think Peele does it just brilliantly. It's good. Really good.
Get Out is the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So
good,
that's fully recommended.
Yeah,
now
I want to see it.
Let's get to the Oscars, okay? We're going to go through like six or seven categories.
All right.
We're going to start. What's the way I want to do it? And I want you to say, the usual thing about who you voted for, if you voted.
But now I have to agree with myself, and I hate doing.
No, but who you think will win? Maybe you.
I know, but I've already changed my mind.
Well, then you can do it any way you want to do it. Let's do Best Actor. Who are the nominees for Best Actor?
All right. In the Best Actor category, we do have Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea.
Probably the favorite.
I believe so.
Probably the favorite, yes.
Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling for La La Land.
Yes.
Viggo Mortensen, nominee for Captain Fantastic, which I was really happy to see because he is fantastic in Captain Fantastic. And Denzel Washington in Fences.
A role that he has played on stage.
Exactly.
And now in the movie. Same as Viola Davis, who we'll get to later.
Exactly.
Who do you think will win?
Well, I am still, you know, this is one of those iffies now because all through the season, everybody's been saying Casey Affleck, and he's taken all of the preliminary awards except one, which was the SAG Award, which went to Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting just because the actors branch is so huge in the Academy that when a SAG goes for something, it kind of makes you take notice because it's like, oh, if the actors are liking that and they all go out for Denzel, it could be an upset for Denzel. So now I'm thinking, but I still think Casey Affleck's going to win.
Okay. Best actor.
Are we doing two, like in the past we've done who Ann voted for
and who
Ann thinks will win.
Who did you vote for? You voted for Casey Affleck, I assume.
I don't vote. Well,
you
I'm
don't
not
vote.
In the Academy.
Oh, okay.
They haven't invited me.
Okay.
When we did our ballot for the post for the Sunday paper, yes, I chose. I predicted that Casey Affleck would win, and I also said I thought he deserved to win.
Okay, best actress.
Okay, for the best actress, we have Isabelle Huppert in Elle.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Ruth Negga in Loving.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
So good. Natalie Portman in Jackie.
Saw it.
Right?
Yeah.
Emma Stone in Lala.
Saw it.
Yep. Meryl Streep in Florence Foster Jenkins.
Much like hundreds of millions of others, didn't see it.
I know, and that was the one nomination that I just didn't.
Yeah,
why?
Like,
does she really need one more? And for that, I don't think.
Yeah, it was kind of a caricature, not really.
Who you got?
I agreed, not her strongest outing. Okay, so who? This is probably of all the categories the biggest toss-up. I'm not exactly sure there's a clear favorite going in. I think if there is one, it would be Emma Stone because she's just so adored and adorable. So I picked her to win. But it's honestly not, it wouldn't surprise me if Hubert took it. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't think people love Jackie so much. So, I don't know.
Okay, but you're going with Emma Stone.
I'm going with Emma Stone.
Okay.
Yeah,
Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting Actor. The nominees are Mahershala Ali for Moonlight.
Right.
Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water.
That's great.
Wonderful performance.
Yes.
Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea, his big feature
the kid,
debut.
The kid.
Dev Patel in Lion.
Yeah, who's done a lot of stuff in the last 10 years. Yeah.
And then Michael Shannon, who was really the best part of Nocturnal Animals. So I'm glad he got recognized for that turn. I think this is definitely a shoe-in for Mahershala Ali.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's deserved. He was masterful in that movie.
In the first 15 minutes of Moonlight, he owns it.
He just owns it.
I think he wins. And Jeff Bridges has, as much as I love him, he's played that role 100 times.
I know. That's okay. I think that's what people think too. Even though, like I said, people do love him, and it's not that what he does isn't wonderful, because it is. But you're right. We've kind of seen that. We've seen those colors.
No, this guy owns the movie. This guy totally owns the movie. Okay, best supporting actress. This is every year I announce at some point that someone is going to win. In the past, I watched Dallas Buyers Club, and I said Jared Leto has to win. Last year, as Nigel will tell you, I said Mark Rylance has to win.
Absolutely.
I saw that movie, and I said, this is a winner. And I'm telling you now that Viola Davis has to win Best Supporting Actress. I'm right, aren't I?
You are totally right, and I agree, and she is, and that's all she wrote.
So we don't even need to talk about who else was nominated.
Except I love Naomi Harris in Moonlight.
Naomi Harris in Moonlight was wonderful.
Has Meryl Streep nominated for this also, by any chance?
Yeah, exactly. No, actually, Nicole Kidman was nominated for her role in Lion, which I thought was kind of surprising because I just think she's terrific, and I think she chooses such good projects, so... It was nice to get the nod, but I'm not sure that was like her. I don't know. And then, of course, Michelle Williams in Manchester, which
she's on for
really,
6 minutes.
She was great.
I know, but that's a true supporting performance, though. And I think what people are saying, Viola's really a lead.
She didn't get nominated in lead.
I know, and God bless, and I think they made the right decision for her because she is going in a way. She is going to win. There's no question. But for a true supporting performance, I think Michelle Williams was cool. Devastating. Yeah, she was so good.
All right, I'm going to go out of order. I'm just going to say best documentary because I have a horse in the race. I've got Ezra. Is Ezra going to win? Or is there going to be resentment towards Ezra because this is essentially commissioned by a television network and it's 7.5 hours long and it breaks all the rules and it's sort of steamrolls everybody else?
Right. Well, that's the question. I mean, I still think it will win because, look, documentaries, feature documentaries, they're all commissioned by TV now. I mean, we've had, a TV movie up for an Oscar is nothing new. We have plenty of HBO films have won. Plenty of CNN films have been nominated, I think. And now with the arrival of things like Netflix and Amazon, I just think these categories are breaking down and these platforms are all meshing and molding and melting together. So it would just be hypocritical if they punished it for that. I mean, just the fact that they nominated it suggests to me that if they're willing to nominate it, they're willing to vote for it.
And you think it will win?
I still think it will win.
Good.
I mean, I think formally I Am Not Your Negro, which we still have not had a chance to talk about.
No, we talked about it. It's the James Baldwin thing.
It's so brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a it's
And
a
Samuel L. Jackson
piece.
Reads the words, right?
Oh, that's right, because we were talking about
loved it.
That was the vocal. Yes, I loved it. And I think that could just be, just purely for on the basis of formal aesthetics, I think that might, I guess if there were going to be an upset, that would be the upset. But I still see O.J. winning.
Okay. All right. And Best Picture. And there's like nine nominated.
Nominees, Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
Okay.
What about Zoolander 2? Was that?
Missed that. That's down here. Somewhere.
So I've seen a lot of these movies, and I've liked a lot of these movies. Which will you think will win?
I still think La La Land is going to win. I still think La La Land is going to win, even though, because it's been, it got 14 nominations, which suggests people like it a lot. It's about Hollywood, which never, no one ever went broke.
Right.
The Academy making a beautiful movie about their chosen profession.
A little frothy compared to most of the others that are nominated.
Yeah, it is frothy. But, over the years when I've dissected what makes the best picture. Like, why would you? And I think maybe, I hope this year, if they do give it to La La Land, I really hope that they at least give the directing award to Barry Jenkins for Moonlight. Because
yeah.
Moonlight is, I think, the greater artistic achievement, purely artistically. But I don't think Best Picture is about pure art. I think it's about emotion. And I do think, I just feel like La La Land is going to make people feel the most, you know, in terms of that group of people. And that's why I'm picking it to win, even though it's really had quite a backlash. I mean, it's getting all these takedown pieces about
that's,
it now.
Yeah. That's what I think is meaningful. I mean, people would say, well, I'm not going to vote for it.
What do you think?
And I wonder if the Oscar so white last year, there might be some shift now to compensate or overcompensate for that.
Right. That could happen.
By
going with
Moonlight instead of La La Land. I mean, that's a real, real black and white distinction right there.
Literally and figuratively,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and it would be. I mean, it's kind of like the last time I can remember this kind of a dichotomy existing was between Hurt Locker and Avatar.
Uh-huh.
In a way,
love
because
Hurt
it's
Locker.
Like Hurt Locker was just this magnificent work of art,
right?
But that wasn't necessarily like an upper or
no.
escapist or anything. And then, and it won, you know.
And
so
it had the
like,
woman director.
True,
Catherine
that,
Bigelow.
You know. But I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I guess that could be operating. I honestly think maybe I'm Pollyanna, and I don't live out there, and I don't hang out with Academy members, so I don't pretend to have any kind of inside track on how they think. But I honestly do think when it comes down to that voting ballot, they really do take it seriously, and they really do vote on the work itself, you know? I mean, from everything I've ever gathered, I really do think that, you know, yes, some people vote for their friends, and some people vote on the basis of you know, like they don't like Mel Gibson's politics, so they won't, you know what I mean? Like, some people will, but I really do think, for the most part, I really think most of the voters try to stick to the work.
I will just
but either
suggest
one
thing.
I'd be thrilled if either one won. I just want the table. I don't want one movie to run the table.
Right.
Like you know, that's what I would like to see because there are so many good nominees up. I'd like to see Hell or High Water get a little something, you know? That's a wonderful movie.
I will give you this one theory that I have.
Okay.
That if you sit down to vote,
yeah.
And you feel a little bit like La La Land is a little frothy, and even though you liked it a lot, you wonder if it's the right thing to vote for,
uh-huh.
and your alternative is, say, Moonlight, then I think what you do is you look around and you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to vote for Hidden Figures.
Well,
because
that's
a true mm-hmm. story, and it's uplifting,
mm-hmm.
and it may not have
Absolutely.
Been the greatest movie ever made, but it is a very safe bet that I will make right now on something like this.
I think not only that, but I think just in terms of the weighted way that they vote 1, 2, 3. I can't remember now. I think they vote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't remember how they do the winner.
Oh, and it's an aggregate number of
yeah,
votes. Oh, I didn't
like,
know that. I thought it was only
like MVP.
First.
Yeah,
I thought you only voted for one thing.
Me too.
Well, maybe I'm
this.
Wrong about the winners. I know I get the nominating process and the voting process confused. So let's not
well,
go
the
there.
Little's
but in terms
the
of the
know.
Voting, they could knock each other out and a Hidden Figures could come in,
yeah.
you know?
So.
Which in a way, like I wouldn't mind that either just because like if I'm honest, that is the movie I recommended the most over the holidays because it's just, like you said, it's just such a
fabulous
winner.
Story.
I mean, it's just such
great
a, it's so much fun to watch. It's such a great story, such great
yeah.
acting. All the values are in place. You know, is it great cinematic art? Maybe not, but it's
well,
a real straight ahead good movie.
You know, Shakespeare in Love won one year, and it's a very
exactly.
good movie, but it wasn't as good as the other movies that were up. It just
exactly.
wasn't.
Exactly.
So,
Saving Private
yeah.
Ryan.
You know, yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Thank
right.
you, Anne. We'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait.
Anne Hornaday, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do the news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Interesting.
I don't want to sit and stare at a spreadsheet. While it's howling, humanity is dead meat. My kind of fun is solitary and stress-free.
This is C's Mikes. That's right, C's Mikes, who writes, as a reaction to the increasing divisiveness and isolation overcoming our society, I collaborated with several artists of varying backgrounds from all over America, including several of whom are based in the DMV, to create my new album, With. Attached is the lead single, Howl at the Sky, featuring Uptown XO and Kokai. K-O-K-A-Y-I. I don't know. With is now available via my Bandcamp page as well as iTunes and Spotify. And by the way, Mr. Mike says, I liked Business Class when I first heard it, and I still do. That's why I like you. You're the only one, me and you. So Nigel has news for us today.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and it was just last year that Leicester was the toast of football in England. They came out of nowhere.
Who was he again? Remind me.
Leicester. It's an actual. It's a team.
Oh, that's a team name.
It's a
okay.
team. Yes.
It looks
Leicester
like
City.
It looks like Leicester. Is right. What it looks like.
Leicester.
You all pronounce it Leicester. Yes.
Right. It looks. It's Leicester.
Yes. It's Leicester.
They won the Premier League, and I don't know anything about soccer, but I listened to people about this. It is considered one of, if not the greatest, upset win of all time. That a team, you know, without a payroll, without any history, without any reason to believe it. They were like 5,000 to 1.
That's exactly right. What it was.
5,000 to 1. This would be like if this year, if the Philadelphia 76ers, and it wouldn't even be the Brooklyn Nets,
yes.
They're the worst. They won the entire NBA. Right. No, it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. So they're not doing so well this year. In fact,
no, they stink.
They've
regressed to the mean.
Yes, they're probably going to get relegated.
Yeah.
We're sent down, for those in America that don't understand what that means, go down a division
and
out of the lucrative, you know, top leagues of football in England. And they have fired the coach, Claudio Ranieri.
It's unbelievable.
The
guy was coach of the year.
Forever.
They can't take that away from him.
Now
they can fire him all they want. Yeah,
they
can't take that
it
away
really
from him.
It really is a slow sport.
Maybe Saban will give him a job.
Yeah, say
for a
did
week.
He go to USC?
Yes.
Okay. What else?
Let's see. Let's go.
Nige,
to...
what's the trophy that they get when they win the EPL?
That's right.
Yeah.
They believe they have determined the type of chemical weapon used to kill Kim Jong Nam, the half brother of Kim Jong Un, at the airport the other day. They believe it was the banned chemical weapon VX, which is a nerve gas.
Oh, that sounds
okay,
bad.
Okay, so they say, I'm watching the Today program this morning, and they say that this is a terrible, terrible thing. It's the most toxic. I guess more toxic than sarin. It's like, it's the worst thing in the world. And then they show drum after drum after drum
stockpiles.
After drum of VX gas.
You never know, just in case.
So a couple of women stuck their hands in this stuff, which seems crazy and daring,
yes.
And rubbed it on this guy's face, and he died before they could get him to the hospital.
I'm guessing they didn't know exactly what they were rubbing on their hands.
Well, they washed their hands quickly.
They washed their hands
not
immediately.
Quickly enough.
One of the women threw up afterwards, so they don't know whether they'd given them the antidote before, because there is an antidote, but you have to administer it very quickly.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that it's VX nerve gas, you're probably not going to say, oh, yeah, we've just got that right here. We've got the antidote.
They also said on the Today Show report that North Korea had the third largest amount of VX. They didn't list one and two in the AP. So who's one and two? So I would worry. I worry about everything. I am now worried about this.
Yeah.
If all it takes is just rub it on your face and you're dead in 10 minutes, what are we talking about?
According to Wikipedia, VX, the most toxic nerve gas ever synthesized, for which activity has been independently confirmed, the median lethal dose for humans is estimated to be about 10 milligrams through skin contact.
Yes.
Or 30 to 50 through inhalation. But
they said the amount of VX weighing 2 pennies would kill 500 people. Ooh. So
if I rub this on my hand and then rub it on your head, you die. But how do I get it off my hand? What is the shelf life for me? At what point do I have to get it off my hands?
Yeah, I think you really have to take the antidote, which is something called atropine. Even though they wash their hands, it stays with you.
Purell doesn't work.
And I don't think Purell really works.
Febreze.
Purell kills 99.9% of germs. I'm guessing this is in the 0.1%.
Have you seen the video of the attack happening?
Yeah,
have you seen the aftermath?
No.
It's bizarre because he goes up to some security people.
That's right. He keeps walking.
And he's like, yeah, you can see him like rubbing his face. Like, they put something in my face.
But he seems fine.
Yeah, well,
he's
not
fine.
Right, well, he's not fine. He's literally dying. He just doesn't know it.
And then
right.
he's on a stretcher.
Well, then they walk him to what is essentially the minute clinic in the airport, and he's inside, and you see him going to the counter, and then it's sort of a quick
shot. What can I do for you today?
Yeah. I'm sure they're prepared for that.
What can I do for you today?
Yeah,
could need a Band-Aid?
Yeah, anything
and
wrong?
And the next thing is, he's
sit
on
down,
the ground.
We'll get to you. No problem. We'll see you.
Now, what? It's just such a coincidence, isn't it? Like, what are the chances that this would happen to the half-brother of the North Korean leader? It's astonishing.
And the women involved, they don't know whether they were actual trained assassins or whether they were people that were coerced into doing it or whether they were duped into it, saying, hey, this is a TV prank. You're going to be throwing water on people's faces.
Or giving a box of cereal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Like we've got this VX. So it'll
what
be fun.
Does it say what the other two countries that have more than North Korea are when you look on the internet?
America.
We have it?
I would think so.
Well, I hope we do have it. I hope we put it right on the border.
I'll tell you who's got it. Putin's got it.
Yeah, I was going to say Russia and America, I think, would be the top two.
All right.
Not Luxembourg.
When Putin runs out of radiation to poison his enemies, he'll go to this.
This is scary stuff.
That is scary stuff.
Yeah, you don't
warfare in general.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that.
What else you got?
Melancholy Happy Trails to Alan Combs, Mr. Tony, co-host of the Hannity and Combs, died yesterday at the age of 66 from lymphoma.
Okay, so now, did you ever watch them together?
Never.
Did you ever watch them?
Saw them.
Every once in a while.
Sean
Hannity is a rough guy. He's a bully guy, and you know that's his deal. Alan Combs always looked literally frail to me. He always looked tall and thin and frail, and he was sort of never a match for Hannity because Hannity was a bulldog, and Combs was then criticized by people like Al Franken that you're just a punching bag. Why are you doing this? What stood out to me, he was born in Lynbrook on Long Island. I'm from Lynbrook.
Howie Braun from Lynbrook.
Right. Yeah.
So he's just a few years younger than
you. Yeah. And when I didn't know him, and I need to know his street. I need to know what street he lived on.
Can you Google that?
Can you find out what street he lived on?
Still trying to figure
so
out.
So I was sort of surprised by that. He hadn't been on in a few years. I don't recall seeing him on TV for 4 or 5 years. That was not a show that I watched a lot, but I did always think that, gosh, I mean, this is like some kid is in the ring with Ali. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was just getting pounded all the time. All right.
So. Nice win for Gonzaga. They clinched the WCC title.
Well, what do you mean by nice? That it was 96-38?
Yes, it was a nice win by them.
A slow week.
They are undefeated at 29-0.
Let's go around the room. Who's number one seeds right now? Are you paying attention to college basketball?
I'm paying attention to Gonzaga. And I'm paying attention a little bit to ACC. But
the ACC is the best conference. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, Gonzaga is going to, I think they'll be the overall number one seed, particularly if they win their tournament. There's no reason why they wouldn't win their tournament. And I don't think they'll make the Final Four.
And Nova and Kansas get one.
Yeah. And I would think, but then the problem is this. When you say, I think Kansas definitely gets one. I don't know if Villanova definitely gets one.
Well, I guess it depends a little bit
because
on what
the ACC
do.
Winner or the Pac-12 winner.
Sure.
The Pac-12
winner, if it's UCLA or Arizona.
Or Oregon. I mean, I think the Pac-12 winner, because they got three teams ranked like 5, 6, 7 right now.
Yeah,
I think they get it. And then the ACC winner may not get it, even though the ACC is by far the best conference.
Well, it's astonishing to think that Duke could win the ACC and not get it.
Not get a number one seed.
Right.
I think they would. I think Duke would at this point because they had
Well, then
run.
Carolina would also. They're higher ranked right now.
Carolina or Louisville could. So there'd have to be five number one seeds. Do you think just for this
year? Three,
yeah, sure, why not?
You have three ACC top 10, three Pac-12 top 10.
And they're all going to be seeded, but no higher than the three.
So if one of, okay, so assuming one of those three in each conference wins the conference, they would get number one.
I think Villanova has the vulnerability.
And then Nova's
I think they
out.
Have the vulnerability at this point. We're going to have Jay Wright on the show today on the PTI show, so I think we'll ask him that. But I think he'll be indecisive. I don't think he'll say, well, we should be a number one. I think he won't care. He's the defending national champion. He doesn't care. It's a very slow news day. Do you have anything else?
I do.
No
Friday,
more soccer
do you have something
news?
Good?
No more football news for you.
Shame.
Florida Man Friday.
Yes.
And this was a story that happened last Friday after we did the show.
They hold. Those Florida Man stories, they hold for
years. Oh, yeah, they got a shelf life of years.
Yeah, they're like,
it's like VX Nerve Gas.
Put it in the freezer and just hold.
Last forever. Mark Charles Burnett of Ocala
had...
I know Ocala is horse country.
Oh, it is?
Ocala is where George Steinbrenner had his horse farm.
Oh, I did not know
near
that.
Near Tampa. Yep.
Well, Mark Charles Burnett, also from there, age 48, and he had what he thought was the perfect scheme. He thought he would plant some bombs in a series of Walmarts up and down the East Coast. And then when they went off, the stock would plummet, and then he would be able to buy the stock at very low prices. And then obviously, and then if there's, well, it's going to rebound eventually, so that stock would then be
dope. Worth,
right.
The plan would be to short the stock.
That's the real
plan. And then set off
it.
The bombs.
Right. And unfortunately, he also did not want to do this himself, so he outsourced it. Hashtag sad. and he paid a man $10,000 to place the bombs on shelves, had it designed like it was in food containers. So it'd be like a, you know, a bomb in Campbell's soup or something like that.
Right.
And he gave him at least 10 explosives, a bag of gloves, a mask, a license plate cover that he could use to cover up, you know, so he wouldn't be seen on the video cameras and anything like that. But the man said, you know what, maybe I should go to the authorities.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Yeah.
So now... he is Mr. Barnett is facing 10 years in jail
for this. Only 10?
Only 10. Well, none of the bombs went off, so
it's just a conspiracy. Yes. I guess at that point,
yes,
it's an idiot.
So
well,
now,
actually, the it's not an idiotic plan.
Scary, yeah, it's a scary good idea. Yeah.
Yes, but as Gary points out, no, and this was from Casino Royale, the James Bond movie, the last one.
Not Kir Royale.
No, it's like you short things. You have a catastrophe and then you short it and then you reap the benefits.
By the
of
way,
that.
Closing the loop on the VX gas thing, since it's
terrible,
since you're obviously not supposed to have it or use it, people aren't really going around screaming from the hilltops that they possess stockpiles of it. But the U.S., Russia, and Syria are known to possess it. And I'm guessing North Korea may have some.
No, they said North Korea had the third
and,
most.
And Iraq as well.
Oh, that's good.
The Iraq.
Okay. And by the way, to continue with the theme of Walmart in Florida, sometimes in Florida, particularly in Brooksville, Florida, and particularly if you're Shannon Long Skink, you say...
What is her last name?
That's a man. Shannon Long Skink.
L-A-L-O-N?
L-O-N, yeah, middle name
and
Lon.
Then S-K-I-N-K, like the varmint?
S-C-H-E-N-C-K. Shannon Long
Skink.
Shank,
you're saying?
Not yeah, Skink. Shank.
Oh, well, I'm pronouncing it Skink.
No, you got Skink on the brain, probably.
Shank.
So apparently said, and sometimes you say, I just want to smoke a little marijuana.
Yeah.
And then after I do that, I want to go down to the local Walmart and wave swords at people. And that's what Shannon did. And unfortunately, people didn't see the humor in that, particularly the police who arrived.
How long is he going away for?
Well,
what's the potential?
He's been charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana, and 3 counts of a possession
seems
of a weapon
by a
convicted felon. So he's going to go away probably for a little bit.
It seems an odd reaction to just smoking marijuana.
Yeah, I had the feeling that might have been laced with something.
Would you like to see a picture of him, Jeannie? Does that seem like a man that would make that decision?
How many facial tattoos? Over under on facial tattoos?
None.
Oh. Little Big Town is on TV now. They're a big group. I've never heard them, but I know they're big. Little, do you know them, Little Big Town? Michael, who's Little Big Town?
They're a country trio.
We talked about this the other day. Girl Crush.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good song.
Girl Crush.
They're not a trio. There's like about 9 people in this band.
Right. Well, one of the lead singers was on the Today Show earlier this week, so maybe they got some. Maybe they're owned by Universal or something. You
know, all right.
It's all cross promotion these days.
Old guy. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. I like Blue Apron. I mean, I can't. All of the reads, they always ask you to talk about your own personal experiences with a particular item. And many of the items I don't have any personal experience with. I do have personal experience with Blue Apron. I enjoyed it. I'll get it back again. I haven't done it in a couple of months. Did it for a couple of months. I liked it. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's important to know where your food comes from. I think on Sundays, the food would be delivered and it would be very, very fresh and it would last all week. And you would make it. And
is it
was
packaged
lovely.
Like it looks in the ads? Like you got all these different compartments and everything? It's cool. It makes it very easy.
It's very nice. Yeah. It's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's a variety. You can choose from a variety of new recipes every week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year. You won't get bored. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your own personal preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. It's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. I would caution you again that it takes some getting used to. If you follow the steps, everything is going to work out. But at some point, you will say, whoa, I got a bunch of things to do here. There are a bunch of things to do, and the payoff is worth it. And it's guaranteed. Blue Apron's Freshness Guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. You can check out this week's menu. You can get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's Blue Apron, BLUEAPRON, blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day of the Beach Boys. 52 years ago today, this song was released. It's an interesting fact. I've seen the Beach Boys many times in my life. And many times, if not every time, I've seen them live. Al Jardine sings lead on this. Not Brian, not Dennis, not Carl, not Mike Love. Al Jardine sang lead on this song when I saw them. Obviously, everybody knows I love the Beach Boys. Jeannie, you love the Beach Boys.
I don't love them as much as you, but
I love
this song, and I have a particular memory associated with this
which
song.
Is not free to share.
No, it actually is free to share. It was right after the song was released. My girlfriends and I was still in high school. We got in Peggy Cahill's station wagon, and we drove to the beach for the day.
Did you cut school? Did you cut visitation? Yeah, we cut school. You told those nuns.
All got completely sunburned. It was our senior year, so we were blowing
off. Crazy Irish girls getting sunburned.
Blowing off everything. Exactly. But, you know, the Beltway was relatively new then, and we were not used to navigating the Beltway.
And there was no navigation system.
There were no navigation
systems. You had to have a map that you got at it. Not even at an Exxon station, at an Esso station.
Which, of course, we did not have. And so coming back, we got on the Beltway going the wrong way and didn't know what to do. So,
and there were no car phones.
No, there were no car phones. So, of course,
can you imagine?
We just pulled into a gas station. And we called Peggy's boyfriend, and he came and rescued us and drove us and escorted us home.
That's wonderful.
That was our GPS.
That's wonderful.
Peggy's boyfriend.
And everybody was burnt to a crisp and looked like lobsters.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point.
Exactly.
Another crazy
and we played
Irish
this song because we kept getting lost and we kept going, help me, Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
Help me, Rhonda.
Well, the boyfriend's name wasn't Rhonda, though.
No, it was
because that would be a great end to the story.
No.
His name was Rhonda.
Did they get married ultimately?
Oh, God, that's such a good story, but I can't tell that one.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But the answer is no.
The answer is no.
You wanted to talk about Luke Russert?
Yes, I got a text from Luke this morning. He said, great night in Melbourne with fellow Littles. He got a La Cheesery shout out upon entering a Melbourne bar.
Really?
And traded stories with a contingent of Aussie Littles. Adam, Jules, and Sam, and many more. They tell me how much the show means to them. It's a constant source of happiness and comfort. They also want to meet Eric Rideholm because he seems so cool. And they said, thank Nigel for wishing them a happy Anzac Day, which isn't for about in a month or so.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Luke,
so
is Luke ever coming back?
I think he's coming back
Luke
in
is seeing,
sometime.
Luke is like Vasco da Gama. He is seeing every country in the world, right? Yes, every country in the world.
Seems as if he's on a world
He'll
tour,
be back
yes.
for Nat's opening day. He's got season tickets.
Okay. That would be a good thing. And Gary, you did a little bit of research on something that was vexing to us yesterday.
Well,
the new Seven Planets.
By research, I just listened to radio shows that actually know something about something.
Right.
And I heard, and I don't want to get this wrong, so let me couch it by saying this is sort of in the neighborhood. But they were talking about how far away these planets are, and it was however many, like 44 light years or something, which is like 240 trillion miles. Of course, we can't travel the speed of light yet.
Not yet.
So some science geek who I was listening to said, like, if you got on an airplane –
Out of Kennedy.
I don't know if it matters if it's Kennedy or LAX, frankly.
Because
you're going a very long way.
Well, I don't know.
Nonstop, direct, hopefully, presumably, at least
same
an aisle seat, if not first class.
I'm in first.
And just went straight as fast as commercial air can travel. You were looking at something like a 44 million year trip.
So
That's how far away.
But that's direct, right?
And they so they said
no. There's no changing.
This guy. So they were saying. So when will we know? He was saying, you know, we need to determine if there's oceans, if they've got, you know, the rocky surface, if they can sustain life. And he said we're probably 30 to 50 years away from knowing if there's liquid water on those planets,
unless they come to us. Unless they seek us out.
This is true.
Because now in their universe or their solar in their solar system, because they revolve around the sun, right?
That's right.
In their solar system, this intrusion, they may have noticed it. And they may focus on
Well, we were taking
us.
A picture from trillions of miles away.
Yeah, we haven't intruded. It's not like, you know, we've got...
We're not there yet?
No,
well,
no.
We might have poked the bear. We don't know,
yeah,
do
you
we?
Don't know. You don't know. You don't know. They may be smarter. They may be all-seeing, all-knowing. You don't know.
You know, I've been on a 44-million-year trip in the backseat of my in-laws' Cadillac.
Oh, I was going to say, was it sitting next to Tony going to Oslo? Going to Oslo? Oh,
there was that, too.
It's just, it's that's a long way to go. That's for what? And plus, when you get there, they don't even have, like, airports, necessarily.
Who knows?
The guy, you can't even land.
Beam me up, Scotty, right?
Yeah, it's just very weird. Speaking of, did you actually say something liquid? You had an odd phrase.
Liquid water?
Liquid water as opposed to what kind of water?
Gaseous or frozen?
How could water be gaseous? How could
steam?
Anyway, it got me to thinking about this thing that I watched.
Is it like scoring the basketball?
Yeah.
One of those weird expressions?
So, have you seen...
Heck of a golf shot?
We talked about this the other day when I was wrong about the Genesis car. You know,
right.
Genesis had been spun off
from
Hyundai, and now it was Genesis was its own thing, much like Lexus is its own thing. Have you seen the newer commercials that Matthew McConaughey does for Lincoln?
I've seen the new ones. What are the new ones like?
Where he's backing it up on the beach. Have you seen that one?
No.
I've seen the one that Pulling I've seen. Now. Apparently, Lincoln is bringing Continental back. And that was in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s. That was a great and prestigious nameplate,
yes,
the Lincoln Continental. Sure. These cars, these were the longest cars in America. I mean, however long the longest car was, the Lincoln Continental was longer than that.
It was so long, they had a model where they chopped the trunk in half, and it was still a long one. Remember that one?
Yes.
Oh,
slanted trunk?
Unbelievably long car, and the back window went in. I mean, it didn't go straight down. It curved in. They were incredibly distinctive-looking cars. This was in a period of time where there were no such things as imports. And the two most prestigious cars, I'm talking about the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and Jeannie and I were alive then and are of an age of reason then. The two most prestigious cars that were sold in America and made in America were the Cadillac Eldorado and the Lincoln Continental. Am I right?
What about the Cadillac Fleetwood?
No, not Eldorado. Very clearly, that is the gold standard Eldorado.
Okay.
And the Continental was that. And then the Continental got shorter and shorter and then seemed to disappear. That the only Lincoln that anybody cared about was the Lincoln Town Car. And the Lincoln Town Car was used as a limousine for 20 years. I don't even know if they make Lincoln Town Cars. I mean, I don't know what Lincoln is doing. Like, I got no sense. I know the Socialite had a Lincoln at one point. I don't know if he still does.
Well, it's just comfortable in the backseat where you could drink.
Still do the town car. We'll have to check. I don't know, actually.
I don't know
like
that they do.
2011 looks like it was the last year
what
Lincoln
I'm saying.
Town car.
So now Lincoln is coming back with a Continental, and Lincoln is coming back with the notion of this very cool,
luxurious,
you know, enviable...
Yes.
Marketing campaign.
Status.
And they're using Matthew McConaughey for reasons that escape me, but I will grant you that Matthew McConaughey is a great-looking man and has won, and deservedly so, the Academy Award for acting. And he does these commercials, which are, I would say, minimalist.
He says like two words.
He doesn't say anything. He looks very cool. He doesn't say anything. In one of the commercials for an automobile, this is for an automobile, he dives backwards into a pool while wearing a tuxedo. You've got to tell me how that works. In other words, if I am in the market for buying a car, in what sense does that make me think that's the car I want? Because I want to drive into the Atlantic Ocean? Because I want to be wet when I drive? I don't. Can you understand?
Well,
what is
one
that
commercial, the most recent one that I've seen, is
where he walks
is
on water
on a beach. And he is backing up the car at about 60 miles an hour away from the ocean. It looks like he's going to drive into the ocean. He's backing up the car.
Then on the sand.
On the sand. And then he does this really slick, skiddy 180 and turns around facing the ocean and then says something, words to this effect, you know, if you want to make an entrance, this is the way to make an
entrance. So he's now going to drive it right into the ocean?
So maybe there's some...
Submarine?
Well, I've seen yet another one where he is on... I haven't seen yours, but maybe it's the same thing where he's on a beach, and at a part of it, they have him, like, standing... Here, this one.
He just looks at it.
Wasn't the one...
He just looks at it.
Wasn't the one where he had dogs in the back seat, and they were arguing about where they wanted to go?
But I would say this. I don't think... I don't think
they ended up at Golden Corral.
There you go. He was like walking on water.
He doesn't do anything.
Tony, the commercials in 2017 are so much about making you want to buy the car.
What?
As much as they are making people talk about them on their podcasts or something that's linkable from a viral nature and people will want to see it and check it out on YouTube. It's just about branding.
The most recent thing that Matthew McConaughey did that impressed everybody, and it did, it impressed everybody, was the True Detective 2 or 3 years ago.
Correct.
So in which his move was to inhale a cigarette for 30 to 40 seconds. That's what he did better than anybody I've ever seen. Matthew McConaughey, he does not expend a lot of energy. In these commercials, he simply looks, he's just cool.
Minimalist is a good way to put it.
He's just cool, but you say to yourself, I mean, if I buy, I can't buy the Lincoln Continental because I can't look like Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. There's nothing I can do that would remotely resemble Matthew McConaughey except do something that would make people laugh at me. So
these commercials are awful. Madison Avenue must have done some research and understood the demographic that they're going after, Gary, wouldn't you think?
Well, these are $50,000 cars, right? The Lincoln Continental?
Yeah.
It's a $50,000
car. So what are they going after, you know, like 30-year-old hedge fund guys?
How many of them are there?
I know.
Are there that many? Are there that many?
I don't know. Good question. MSRP, $44,720. So loaded up, it's probably closer to 60 than 50.
It's certainly over 50.
It's not like a Porsche or, you know, something like that.
No. It's a car they took off the market for a while. It's hard to bring those cars back. Ford tried to bring back the Thunderbird, and I don't think it was successful at all, bringing back the Thunderbird. I'm not sure that these things work once you
because
dump
I
them.
Think it's hard to, well, you know, like the whole Not Your Father's Oldsmobile campaign.
Which no longer exists.
Right, but it's hard to get over your preconceived notion, particularly with respect to a car.
So, but Matthew McConaughey, I mean, he must make hundreds of thousands of dollars to do these ads.
He looks marvelous.
He does, he looks great. Yeah.
Although, but this is Tony.
If you're a woman, do you think, well, I'm going to end up with Matthew McConaughey, and if you're meaning, yeah, I'm just like him. No, you're not. You're not like him. You're not.
This is the fifth run for the Lincoln Continental. It has gone into and out of production.
When was the last time they made a Continental?
2002.
It's 15
now,
years.
They've been making the Lincoln's MKS.
Nobody buys them.
But
only
yes.
The socialite. they're not, you don't see them.
He's ahead of
the curve. Cadillac has just
like the Mercury. Lincoln. Mercury used to make one of those tank mobiles.
And now
too.
It's out. Now there's no, Mercury did an interesting thing. In the last gasp of Mercury, they tried to market only to women. I thought it was pretty smart. It didn't work. But I thought it was smart.
They should bring back that little two-seater Thunderbird. That's a Thunderbird thing.
I think they tried to bring that back. I think they tried, and I think it just didn't work.
Yeah.
Because anybody who wanted it, who remembered it, was so old they couldn't get in or out of it. Which is my
like
problem with the
solstice.
Yeah. Which is for sale. If anybody wants to buy it, just let me know.
For cash or interesting trades, right? Isn't that what you said?
Cash or barter?
Something really interesting. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a cow. Not necessarily something that would be a dowry in a foreign country. But, yeah, I mean, if you propose something really interesting, I'd swap it.
Jimmy like Butler?
A big bag of beans. Yeah, Ricky Rubio. 2 years of Ricky Rubio. I might swap for it. So I don't really have anything else. That was interesting to me. The Daytona is this week. Yeah. I don't care. And and the weather in Washington is freakish.
Yeah.
It's going to be 79. It's going to be 79.
It's going to be 80 today and 40 on
it's
Sunday.
It's hot in this place, this undisclosed
location.
Yeah,
it is. It's hot.
Today.
Yeah.
It's a little warm.
Yeah, no, it's hot. So, all right, let's get out. When we come back, we will do a jingle and we will have some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony's mailbag, got your email, facts, horses and your nose. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
Kirsten Ohnstadt with her own ukulele. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday for coming on with us. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, Blue Apron and Indochino. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Michael Kessler in Chicago, Illinois, I'm a millennial little from Chicago. Currently, I'm in graduate school at, you guessed it, Northwestern. I was wondering if I could interview you for a class assignment. I'm available Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1 to 1:15 p.m. and Tuesday, Thursday from 3 to 3:30 p.m., all time central. I'm actually writing because on Thursday's podcast, you read an email from Alex Schwarm of Glen Ridge, New Jersey. I'm Alex's college roommate from our time at, you guessed it, Northwestern. In his note to you, Alex claimed that he became hooked onto your show during a flight to Sydney. Remember that? That was yesterday. Michael Kessler writes, "That's a lie. I introduced Alex to your show while we were driving from New Jersey to Massachusetts for our annual Labor Day trip to a friend's cabin at Martha's Vineyard, La Cheeserie Old Sport, La Cheeserie. Since that moment, Alex has been hooked, much to his wife's chagrin, but you shouldn't worry about that last part because she prefers the Hallmark Channel." Gene, you're not Hallmark Channel.
You've asked me this. You know, I am just, not.
Thank you.
I mean, how
thank
long
you.
Have you known me?
I don't know.
Would
I can't
you think?
Even have to ask.
No.
Okay.
More of a lifetime channel fan.
Ron Flatter, now in Las Vegas, Nevada. Was Adam Schefter calling you from his temporary job as a pool boy? He sounded like he was telephoning you from the empty deep end at Bushwood. I just hope he found the baby Ruth that I may have dropped there last summer. From Scott Berry in Midlothian, Virginia. So with your podcast location still remaining undisclosed, how did Adam Schefter know where to contact the other end of his soup can to a string phone yesterday?
That yeah, there were some comments on it.
Was not yeah.
That
was a
the content was
phone.
Good, though.
This is from Kathy, who's a registered nurse. I love your show and also PTI. I heard you remark about being sick again. In case you haven't done this already, change your toothbrush. You can reinfect yourself every time you brush. Just a thought, I want to keep you healthy. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
That would freak Saliza out.
Did you know that?
Did not.
I didn't
make sense.
Oh, you should use a new toothbrush every day.
Really?
Saliza
probably
will now. From
Carol Connolly, Lieutenant Colonel retired at the Marine Corps. On this day 4 years ago, the first alternative TK jingle was aired. In the area of critical commentary, Skyler and Grayson added their brother Kian to the Connolly Singers and have gone on to a few seasonal hits like It's a Great Pumpkin, Mr. Tony, and The Orange Grinch, yet they never received the notoriety a certain Jerry has for beginning the form. Sad. From Rory O'Neill in Cleveland, that unnamed little at the Flyers-Caps game who sat next to Gus from Annapolis, that's my brother. Jamie from Philly, formerly Jamie from Dallas, formerly Jamie from Chicago, and before that, Jamie from South Bend. He had a great time sitting with Gus from Annapolis. So thank you, gang and SeatGeek.
That's
this
sweet.
Is
matchmaking.
I love
is
it.
That it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Come on. How does that happen?
Don't know.
It's just so wild. Troy from Laurel. I guess that's Laurel, Maryland. You should try to get Michael to appear on the Shack House Golf Podcast. I'm sure his great golf insight could get a few listeners to follow him back to the podcast. Also, it might get him some Callaway swag. And
nice.
You're feeling about
let's do
this?
That.
I'm ready whenever.
You know, you can also get on.
We might bring them numbers.
Yeah, you can also get on SiriusXM, the golf show.
That's a little intimidating.
I think you could do it. I've had an offer to get you on there, and just a question of whether you want to do it. But Joe House does. Joe House does the. Does
I know,
the
and he does
house.
It out of here.
Yeah. So why can't he?
Well, not this location, but.
Well, why can't he ask you to be on it?
Maybe he will.
And you could get some Callaway stuff. This Callaway sponsors them, right?
I've learned that from you. Always ask for a box.
Nothing wrong with that. I learned it from Steve Young. Send me a box of that.
Yeah, send me a box.
From John Tagliarini. On Wednesday's show, you discussed the NBA-ABA merger. Gary had a bunch of questions. You remember you had questions?
I did.
And the advice from John is you should watch the definitive work on it, Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is. It's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, Flint Tropics.
It's a pretty funny movie.
Someone Eric recommended Bennett, Loose Balls.
Near
Pluto's,
Natick,
Pluto's book.
Massachusetts.
Isn't that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's an oral history.
Yeah, these guys thought I was making a joke.
No, starting to look forward to the best day of the year, the annual Tony K versus Bob Ryan bracket picking. A 9 is an upset over an 8. Oh, I don't consider that an upset. But it's a 9 over an 8, Bob. It's an upset. From Scott Imus from the foothills of Boulder, Colorado. About a week ago, I was pulling into the Safeway, not the refugee level, in North Boulder. I was delighted to find an empty parking spot right away. What caught my eye about the car in the next spot wasn't that it was a virtually identical Subaru, its boulder, or out-of-state plates, its ski season. It was the TK sticker on the bumper. I thought I should go into the store and have the service counter say, to the owner of a tan Subaru, La Cheeserie. I imagine they might not go for that. However, being somewhat emboldened, I ripped off the bottom of my shopping list, scribbled down La Cheeserie, and attempted to get it to stay above the driver's side door handle as I carried my nine-month-old in the other arm. I have no idea whether this message was received, but I had a fun moment nonetheless. And Michael, you point out what?
He left that note on Ed Butt's car. Ed took a photo of it and put it out on Twitter.
That's right. Ed's in Colorado for the winter.
It is unbelievable.
The connective tissue of this show is sometimes scary.
Astonishing.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Come on, man. What are you doing out here, man?
Internet girl, why are you so quiet all the time? Girl, you have an impenetrable line. How can I reach you when you're not turning me on? How can I read you when
while it's howling, humanity is dead meat. My kind of fun is solitary and stress-free. Refilling the tank when my empathy is empty. Friends see it all, the good and the bad. When I'm bad at being good, it's for the good of the math. Add the resources you have, put a foot on the path. Before judging another smile is too crooked to laugh. Mistook it for wrath, the lesson was one of benevolence. Fumbling evidence while discovering elements of surprise, surprise, we're all under development. Hate to say I told you so for the love of intelligence. None of it's relevant, so listen up. We all share the same water from a different cup. I know my way around all your nips and tucks. So a cigarette's the only way I'm kissing butt. Zip it shut. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl at the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl at the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl at the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl at the sky. I don't wanna sit and stare at the city streets. I need an outlet, a plug, it's 10 degrees. My heart'll freeze if I go below zero. So whenever
whenever I see dough, I do-si-do. Stability is required for manhood. Didn't understand the mechanics until I lifted up my number. Forget materialism. It isn't him, you, or me. And killing your brother for nothing doesn't make you a G. I talk to God every day. He created you and me. The planets and stars are organized. Today, I throw the lines to make the sort of line. Like the override. Any team, I'm the coach of mine. Approach the mic with a culture mind. Here to take the game into overtime like Jordan. 23-45 with the truth from flashy like Nas and Nasty. Telling perseverance what got me here whenever they ask me. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl in the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl in the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl in the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl in the sky. Listen, I don't wanna sit and stare at a sketch piece. Mug shots, slug shots, now you resting. The bloodshot, I watch her no jet stream. A purge for the murder, his mother utter the next thing. Jah bless him, cause in now I want to test him. Now he peeking from the urn, top of beechwood dresser. But she preach good lessons, yet he heed no warnings. Got inspired by the choir every Sunday morning like, Lord, please save him. She beseeching, betwixt the grieving, amidst the relieving. Third shift is shipping and receiving. Juxtaposed to his growing greeting. Packages, he stuck both feeding. Good set of product ain't a factor, but his math was misleading. So his path lacked the crumbs of bread just to lead him. Back now, she hollering at the sky with a tear stuck to her lashes. Caught a moon amidst the star as the waves keep crashing. So, don't ask me how, ask me why. And you can howl at the sky. Don't ask me how, ask me why, Lord. And you can howl.